You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
All of this addiction to the religion of sports is a kind of indictment against life as it is being lived today.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Help us all to see how great it is to know you, your grace, your kindness, your forgiveness. In that goodness of yours, give us life which is life indeed, life with heart and hope and love, all in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I'm going to touch upon a subject that is mighty touchy for millions of people throughout the world. This is the age of the sports spectacle, attended by hundreds of thousands and watched by millions more on their television sets. It is a way of life for millions of people in America, Europe, South America, and almost any place in the world you could mention. For millions of people, it is the one thing with which nothing else in life is allowed to interfere. Family life cannot interfere. Work can somehow be worked out so as not to interfere. Church cannot interfere. The demands of education are put aside so as not to interfere. And sometimes even the distinction between right and wrong is simply forgotten in the whole process. Anything goes that will help athletes to win. And anything is let go by millions of people who watch them win. This is not a diatribe against athletics. I enjoyed sports when I was young, and I enjoy them today. I enjoy watching a game on television. It is about the best fare that I've been able to discover on television. I'm not out to conduct a campaign against athletics. What I am talking about is the craze that has grown up in every part of the world around sports. Sports have become a kind of religion with people. When sports gets to have that place in your life where nothing is allowed to interfere, it becomes a kind of god. People worship at its shrine. This is the kind of religion that St. John was talking about in his first letter. You must not love this passing world or anything that is in the world. The love of the Father cannot be in any man who loves the world, because nothing the world has to offer, the sensual body, the lustful eye, pride in possessions, could ever come from the Father, but only from the world. And the world, with all it craves for, is coming to an end. But anyone who does the will of God remains forever. Sports have their place in the world. The human body, with a fine mind directing it, is a thing of beauty in action. In a game where cooperation is necessary between human beings, or in a track meet where individuals are pitted against one another, the thing of beauty produces action that is really exciting. That excitement in our age has become a kind of craze, almost a religious experience. It acts like a hypodermic to help people escape from life, at least for a little while. Millions of people are addicted to it, just as if it were a kind of drug, with a growing list of assorted evils attendant upon the misuse of any drug. In America, the sports writers have coined a word to describe a person who follows sports closely. They call him a fan. They got that name from another word, fanatic. A sports fan is often highly partisan and often highly vocal about his partisanship. When he goes beyond being a fan, he becomes a fan addict, often devoting his whole life to one superficial cause, which will eventually leave him disappointed, disillusioned, and maybe even in despair. The craze for sports today often takes people beyond the point of being fans. They become fan addicts with a fanaticism that despoils life and frequently makes it a caricature of what life was meant to be. A sports hero whose salary runs into six figures is idolized as if he were a god. Whatever he does or says is taken as gospel truth. His way of life is copied, whether he wears long hair, plays the wolf with women, or whatever. Whatever he does is right, and whatever he says is passed from mouth to mouth. The tendency can be noticed not only in professional sports, but even in Little League baseball and high school football. In a town of 14,000, as one magazine has pointed out, 4,000 of those people turn out every week to go through the ritual of watching 11 high school boys in helmets being transformed into little gods. The ritual includes cheerleaders to whom not being selected on the team is a major tragedy. Fan addicts travel hundreds of miles to witness a game, sometimes braving the bitter cold with the zeal and ardor of ancient martyrs. The players intone mysterious incantations and use special language that few laymen can comprehend. Commentators give explanations that capably obscure and distort simple truths. Special brands of athletic equipment are blessed by the gods who use them. The whole thing acquires a mysterious aura associated in times past not so much with sports as with some forms of religion. A true fan addict gives himself to a kind of theology. Winning, he says, isn't everything. It's the only thing. He has a value system all his own. What sort of religion is this that subordinates every priority to that of being number one? What kind of fanaticism is it that tolerates and even encourages every device of recruiting, however illegal, in order to reach the goal of success? Athletes will testify to the fact that respectable institutions have offered junketeering and even sex as an inducement to signing up. What kind of religion is it that sacrifices integrity and the cultivation of the gentler virtues in order to accomplish the one purpose of winning? I realize, of course, that here I am challenging what some people regard as a cardinal goal of life. St. John challenged it too. You must not love this passing world or anything that is in the world, he said. The love of the Father cannot be in any man who loves the world, because nothing the world has to offer, the sensual body, the lustful eye, pride in possessions, could ever come from the Father, but only from the world. And the world, with all it craves for, is coming to an end. That may sound old hat to some people, but it is gospel truth. Nothing else in the whole world can take the place of the love of the Father. Anything else comes from the world. That is going to end, as the world itself is going to end. If that isn't clear today, it will be tomorrow. All of us had better get used to it today. What I've just said goes for anything in this world of ours that preoccupies people and prevents them from seeing what is truly important. The love of the Father is more important than anything else in this whole world of ours. If anything else takes the place of that, it is idolatry pure and simple. One of Christ's men said, "Keep yourselves from greed, because that's idolatry." Greed is almost the name of the game today, and that's idolatry. I am a sports fan, and some of you are probably sports fans too. The critics of those who find everything wrong in big-time sports have a point when they say, "Oh, cut it out, fellows, it's only a game." When all is said and done, that Saturday afternoon ritual or the Sunday afternoon spectacle is only a game. People get all kinds of things out of that game for themselves. But it is only a game. If that's all it is, who can be against it? What I'm talking about here today is not a game. It is fandom turned into fanaticism. It is a turning of sports fans into fan addicts who cannot survive without the salvation that sports bring. It's a kind of religion where something else takes the place of the love of the Father, without which no man can live. It's like so many other things in the world, the good things, which can be turned into something they were not meant to be. The word sport itself is an abbreviation, a shortened form of the word disport, which describes an amusement or diversion. People are diverted from the day-to-day cares and anxieties they carry with them by some excitement and thrills, a few of them at least. Sports contribute to that excitement. In addition, there is the innate desire for competition, to develop muscular strength and alertness with which a man defends himself against all the forces around him, some of which would otherwise do him in. It is only a short step to that other ground, where sports are everything. For many people, sports have become a kind of exercise in holiness, a new kind of holiness, associated with physical strength and bruising contact, like an ancient war dance which had religious significance, openly avowed. Modern sports spectacles become just that, for men who forget their families, their friends, and even their faith in order to follow the elusive God whom they serve as devoted fan addicts. It is only a game. It's about time that we restore sports to their true place in the scheme of things. A game. When that happens, it will require almost a revolution in modern life. If that's what it takes, that's what we need. What difference does it really make in the real satisfactions of life whether the one or the other team wins the World Series? What difference will it make 10 years from now whether a certain college team was number one in 1973? What difference does it make that some fan or other attended every baseball game during the current season? What difference will it make to him or to anyone else? All of this devotion and even addiction to the religion of sports is a kind of indictment against life as it is being lived today. I am not indicting life. That's being done by people who give their hearts and souls to the things that perish and pass away. People need a feeling of commitment. They want to commit themselves to something. Many of them don't know what it is to which they want or need to commit themselves. They don't know God. They don't even want to know Him. They would like to get away from Him. Probably that explains, to a certain extent, some of this addiction to sports. It's one way of getting your mind off the things that count. This passing world of ours is coming to an end. Just saying that reminds people of something they would just as soon forget. It gives them a glimpse into the emptiness, the lonesomeness, and the despair that push people to hold on to a life raft which has a leak in it. The writer of this text is so right, and many sports fans know it. The love of the things of this passing world is folly, because they will come to an end. The only love that remains is the love of the Father. the Father shows that face of his in his Son, Jesus Christ. He meets us, his brothers and sisters, in our genuine need. The Father we talk about is no idol, no plaster image, no puffed-up balloon of a God who promises glory, success, and winning the number one slot. The Father we call by that name is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He promises his love to the world in that great Son of his. The sign of the Father's love is the cross of Jesus Christ. There isn't any love like that one. He gave his Son for us all, and that Son offered his life, his dear life, for us all. He is number one in the whole world, the whole universe, because of that cross of his. For the sins of men that cause all the lonesomeness, the emptiness, and the despair, the Son of God gave his life. For all of that, his Father raised him from the dead and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The glory, the success, the number one status Jesus Christ promises are all wrapped up in that cross of his. There you see yourself, my friend. When he died, all died. Your name is written there. He died for you. He died for all, that those who live by faith in him should not henceforth live unto themselves, trying to escape from life or to satisfy their need for commitment by running after loves for things that come only from this world of ours, a world that will come to an end. He died for all, that people like us might not live to ourselves, but to him who for our sakes died and rose again. People that run after other loves get lost. The love of the Father cannot be in any man who loves the world, because nothing the world has to offer, the exciting body, the lustful eye so often associated with the athletic hero, the pride in possessions, even though they run into six figures, could ever come from the Father, but only from the world. The world, with all it craves for, is coming to an end. Anyone who does the will of God remains forever. That's the reason for all the blood, sweat, and tears of Christ's cross. People who trust in him will remain forever. That's success beyond anything you ever saw or dreamed of. That cross and that death of his are success because they were done for a brother. There's no rivalry or competition here. No trampling upon another to scramble to the top. Here there's love for brother, which is ready and willing to go the whole way for brother. Faith in Jesus Christ, with all the forgiveness he gives, and trust in the love of the Father who gave Jesus Christ for us all, are the only guarantee of what people really ache for: victory over the enemy that threatens us in ultimate terms, death itself. Even at the hour of death, God is strong. He has no feet of clay. He does not drop out at the critical moment. He is Lord of life and of death. Anyone who delivers himself up to this God, the Father who loves in his Son, Jesus Christ, will never be ashamed. His crops may not mature. His cattle may not be as numerous as he wants them to be. His children may not be all A students. But he has won out over the last enemy, which is death. Death can do its worst, but the Father's love will endure. His love remains forever. The world is only a game. It does not demand ultimate commitments of time, energy, money, and emotion. It is a passing world. It will come to an end. With it will go all the trophies, the statistics, the ticket stubs, and even the television tubes, which are all a part of the game. Don't commit yourselves to that, because that is not everything, not by any means. A fine woman who is practically a member of our family has a son just graduated from high school. He was a star athlete in high school and was offered college scholarships for the playing of football that would tempt any young man confident of his athletic abilities. That young man decided to turn down those scholarship offers, not because he did not need financial aid, nor because he didn't like sports. He turned them down because he thought they would stand in the way of his getting a good education. He preferred to work his way through school, and even to borrow money in order to do it. He has committed himself to prepare for life as a professional man. Even that did not come first in his thoughts. He comes from a fine Christian family, and they have an ultimate commitment which puts everything else in its proper place. Football is only a game. A professional career is a step beyond that game. But beyond all that is life's ultimate commitment, the one that tells you whether a man is really a man, that he knows God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. This is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. People asked Jesus Christ what it meant to do the will of God. He said, believe on him whom God has sent. That's it, my friend. That is it. It takes faith, lots of it. And it's true. Anyone who does the will of God in this passing world of ours remains forever. Amen.
Listening to a recorded copy of a Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.